Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Isaiah 9, 2 to 7, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms blood-stained by war will all be burned. There will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. My theme for reflection is light before the light. Light before the light. Sometimes Christmas Eve feels like a well-rehearsed play. We know when to light the candles, when to sing, and when to hold the silence. We know the story so well that we can almost recite it without listening. And yet every year, the church quietly insists on reading Isaiah alongside Luke, as if to say, slow down, there is a deeper light at work here. The problem Isaiah addresses is not sentimental darkness, but real political, spiritual, and historical despair. The people walking in darkness in Isaiah 9 are not abstract sinners. They are communities crushed by empire, misled by leaders, and anxious about survival. The northern territories, Zebulun and Naphtali, have already been overrun by Assyria. What they see around them is loss of land, loss of identity, and loss of hope. Chapter 8 ends with a bleak line. People look to the earth, but see only distress and darkness. This is not the darkness of winter evenings. It is the darkness of abandonment, fear, and failed alliances. Yet into this context, Isaiah speaks a startling word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Notice the grammar. Before any future promise, before any child is named, Isaiah speaks thanksgiving in the present tense. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. Faith here is not denial of suffering, it is trust grounded in God's character. The prophet dares to thank God before circumstances change. That is how despair begins to loosen its grip. God resolves the problem, not first by removing Assyria, but by reshaping imagination. Light does not erase history, it reinterprets it. The promise of a child and a just ruler comes not as escape from reality, but as God's commitment to be present with it. Power will no longer be defined by fear, weapons or political calculation, but by justice, peace, and faithful governance. The names given to this child, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, are not sentimental titles. They are counterclaims against every empire that pretends to secure the world by force. Christians hear these words on Christmas Eve because Luke's gospel insists that God keeps acting this way. While Rome claims peace through census and control, God brings peace through vulnerability and presence. Isaiah helps us see that Christmas is not a divine interruption of history, but the consistent expression of who God has always been, the one who brings light precisely where darkness feels most final. I think a theologian who captures this well is Karl Barth. This is what he wrote: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, not because the darkness is weak, but because the light is stronger." Isaiah is not naive about darkness. He is confident about God. Another Old Testament text that interprets this passage is Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Notice again, light comes before circumstances change. Trust precedes deliverance. What does this mean for us today? It means Christmas is not only about what God once did in Bethlehem, but about who God is now. When we face political uncertainty, personal grief, institutional fatigue, or spiritual dryness, Isaiah reminds us that God's light is not seasonal. It is not stored away with decorations. It is woven into the very nature of God's presence with the world. When the candles are lit tonight, they testify not just to a baby in a manger, but to a God who has always refused to abandon creation to darkness. And when the candles are extinguished, that promise does not go out with a flame. It goes with us. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where do you currently experience darkness that feels historical, entrenched, or beyond quick solutions? Number two, what would it look like to practice gratitude before circumstances change, trusting God's character rather than outcomes? And now our practical exercise for the day. Light a candle at home or in silence today. Name one place of darkness you carry and one reason, however small, to give thanks. Let gratitude become an act of resistance against despair. Faithful God, you have been our light long before we learned to name the darkness. We ask you, O Father, to come bless us as we continue to enjoy the light of Christmas. When fear has crowded our vision and uncertainty has shaped our steps, you have not withdrawn your presence. You have spoken light into places we thought were lost, and hope into moments we believed were finished. We thank you that your promises do not depend on our strength, our certainty, or our perfect faith. You are God in the shadows, as surely as in the brightness, God with us in exile as well as in the celebrations of our lives. As we leave this moment and return to the ordinary rhythms of life, teach us to trust your light when the candles are gone, to follow your way when the path is unclear, and to live as people shaped more by hope than by fear. Make us bearers of your light in our homes, in our communities, and in your church. Where there is despair, give us courage to hope. Where there is division, teach us to seek peace. Where there is weariness, renew us with your joy. We place our lives, our future, and our world into your faithful hands, trusting that the light which has dawned will never be extinguished. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.